Guys. Amen. Good morning, everybody. We need to pray for our lead pastor. He has been hoodwinked and cheering for the Kansas City Chiefs for some ungodly reason, I'm sure. Guys, my name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel. Thank you guys so much for being here. We're going to be continuing a series of messages that we began several weeks ago called Amazing Grace. And before we get into that, I just wanted to explain, got some explaining to do, explain what this is. You're going to see over the next several weeks individuals that have little tags that look like this. Mine says, ask me about my community group, or I am a community group leader. We have leadership teams that have been formed to lead our community groups. These are people just like us, and they have decided to lead. It doesn't make them special, doesn't make them great Bible teachers. They have simply believed that God loves gathering people and can do amazing things when they look at His Word together. So if you see them and you want to know more about their group, all you have to do is ask them when you see it. We've got several scriptures we're going to go through today, so I would love it if you've got a Bible or your phone, I'd love for you to pull that out, maybe take a few notes, definitely open up a Bible app if you have one. If you don't have a Bible app, the Holy Bible app is a great one. It'll actually read to you if you don't think you have time to read, which is awesome. We're going to begin in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, and before we get there, I just want to kind of set this up for you. If you haven't read a good chapter of the Bible lately, Matthew 18 is a great one. I would make this homework this week. In this section of Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is speaking, and he's really trying to help out people who are following him when they have issues in their relationships. When they have disagreements, how do they resolve them? How do they get unity? How do they get reconciliation? And it's really a very telling passage of Scripture because in Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus says, where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. What Jesus is saying is that when his people get together, there is a special grace that is released. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the topic of grace. And really, the grace that we've been talking about before now is more like an individual grace. This is like the grace that God gives you, how you relate this grace to others, and how God can change you as a result of this grace. But now we're transitioning into a grace that God pours out on a group of people. A gathering of people. It's like Jesus is saying, when at least two or three of you get together, I'm going to do something so special, it's going to cause the issues that you guys have to kind of melt away. It's going to give you the power to forgive. It's going to be able to cause a unity to happen when God's people come together. So my goal, my hope, my prayer is that by looking at this gathering grace, God is going to show you something unique, something special, and the blessing it is when we get together. Can somebody say amen to that? So, Father, help us today. We pray that your word would come alive. God, that it wouldn't just be something we pass over, but you would go deep into our heart and realize our need for one another and how much you want to pour out grace onto a people who is searching you. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Did you guys know that recently Clarksville has been listed as the number one city in the United States? What? Somebody said blasphemy. Like nobody told me about that when I moved here. That was according to money.com. It was also in the last week, it was listed as the number one place to retire. I know, it's like Clarksville's getting on the map, you know, right here in River City. The people are beginning to flock. Matter of fact, I read a statistic the other day. They said in I think the year 2030, by the year 2030, 200,000 people are going to call Clarksville home. And if you didn't know, we're about 150,000 now. So 50,000 more people are going to be flooded down Wilma Rudolph Boulevard just to make your day a little less happy. Praise the Lord for all these great new people. But you know, there are some very happy people that this city is growing. It is great for business. And all the business people said amen. It's great for real estate agents, and they all said amen. But you know, it is also great for churches. It is a great opportunity for what God is doing and is going to do through the local church for all of these people. There are people that are going to be coming from all over the world to this town. And the church has a great, when I say church, I don't mean this building. I mean you. Look at your neighbor and say, he means you. See, because this building's not going to sprout legs and arms and go down to Kroger and start telling people about Jesus. No, Jesus is going to use you. When these people start moving into your neighborhood and your neighborhood turns into double the size it is now, God is going to do something amazing. I told you over the last few weeks we've been talking about different types of how God uses grace, or different ways that God uses his grace. Today we're going to talk about how God uses grace to gather us to himself, but also to other people. When I use that word gather, the definition is to come together, to assemble, to accumulate, to bring together, to take in from scattered places. To take in from scattered places. How many of you guys are originally from Clarksville, Tennessee? Not one. You, Sam, you are not from Clarksville, Tennessee. My boy Juan in the back. Hey, boy, he's from Guatemala. Quit lying. Most of us have been scattered, and we have been gathered by God to, for whatever reason, to be in this place at this time for this season. And so we need to make the most of it. Someone say amen to that. We're going to take very quickly a look at three reasons why we need to gather. And later on, I'm going to give you three ways on how to gather. The first one, if you're taking notes or you're just very interested, is protection. We need to gather for protection. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be alert and sober mind, and of sober mind, your enemy," we do have an enemy, the devil. There is a real devil. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, my son, he loves this show on PBS Kids called Wildcrats. I don't know if you heard of this. He has learned so much about animals, and he loves to tell me what he's learned. Praise God. And he came up to me the other day, and he said, "Daddy, did you know that zebras, they use their stripes when they herd together, and the lions can't get them because they stick together?" So that's pretty cool. But you know what? The sad thing is that if you've ever watched any of those nature shows, there's always a weak one. There's always a young one. There's always one who dips a little too long in the lake and drinks the water, and the herd's gone and passed him, and he's sitting there looking around. But all of a sudden, the lion comes out, and he takes off. You know, he always gets the weak one. He always gets the one who is isolated. He always gets the one who's young and inexperienced. And he becomes lion food, becomes buzzard meat. Well, the same thing kind of happens in the kingdom of God. When believers cease to gather together, the faith that you may have or think that you have may sustain you for a small season, but it's only a matter of time before you begin to soften up maybe on your Bible devotion, or you start to rationalize things that may not be godly. And because that Christian community, that gathering of believers, isn't there to help you out and maybe point you in the right direction or to ask you if you're okay, you begin to get a little weaker, a little further away. And then the enemy, who roars around, he's that lion, he begins to put little doubts and thoughts. "Well, I thought they called spiritual family. They hadn't called you. Maybe they didn't really love you anyway. Maybe God has abandoned you because you messed up. And maybe you don't think you'll get any forgiveness. You can't go to that church because they'll look at you funny. You've got a scarlet letter over you. Nobody is going to want you there." And if you don't have any kind of thoughts to contradict that, it's only a matter of time before you slowly stop going to church, you slowly stop praying, and you slowly start to see yourself become someone different. Somebody say amen to that. So we stay together because of protection. The second thing, one of the reasons why we gather, is to know God's love. This is interesting. We're going to find out a level of God's love that we probably don't think about very much. But in Luke chapter 15, everybody say, Luke, I'm your father. Luke 15, chapter 4. It says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep. This is Jesus talking and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? What's interesting about that and what that means for us is that our God does love us so much that even if we were lost, he would go out and find us. But the great part about being together is, what do you think he does with the sheep that he finds? He brings it back to the 99. And what's so cool about this is being a part of a gathering of believers is we get to see when God does amazing things. We get to see when God does the miraculous, when he works out a marriage conflict, when he brings somebody that used to be maybe following Jesus and they made a few bad choices and now they're far away from God. And then God begins to draw them back to God's people. We get to praise God because of what he's done. We know if he did it with them, he could do it with me. And if he could do it with me, he could do it with my family. And we all get encouraged because we get to see what God is doing. It's amazing that we get to see God's love for other people when we gather together. Third thing is we get to grow spiritually when we gather together. One way of learning about what a church should be like is by studying the early church. So we look at that in Acts chapter 2, and we see what they did in verse 42. Part of it just says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship. We grow better when we're together. It's amazing. You can read the Bible for yourself, and you should. But there is a special aspect to growing in your faith when you sit around a table and people begin to read God's word and they start to use their background and their experience and what God has done in their life, and they share that openly and audibly. It's kind of like you get another aspect of how God has worked, and we all mutually grow in our understanding and our love for God and his word. You know, most of us, we did not choose Clarksville, Tennessee. In many ways, many of you probably didn't maybe have thought you chose this church. You woke up this morning and said, I'm going to go to Bethel today. Maybe somebody brought you here, and maybe you're like me. I had a drug problem. My mama drugged me to church. But did you know that, you got that, thank you. It's like, oh, wait for it. I forgot where it was. But did you know that God is the one who draws us? There's actually a verse in Scripture that says, no one comes unless they are drawn. It's like behind the scenes. It's like God is doing something all your life. Grandmama's prayers and your daddy or your mama's prayers and people at the work, people that you didn't even know. You was acting a fool, they were praying. And all the time, God was just drawing you closer. And bad things might have happened, but all those things happened so that you could be lined up strategically by the plan of God. And for whatever reason, 2020 came around and you were right here at Bethel Community Church so that God could gather you with all of us together. And he does that. It's very clear in his word why he does that. Let's look at Psalm 68. I got several scriptures for you. Psalms chapter 68, verses 4 through 6. It says, sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. And here it is. God sets the lonely in families. A lot of you guys might say, I'm not that lonely. If you were real, a lot of us in this room are very lonely people, but we put on a big front. Can somebody say amen? All of us have certain masks that we wear. Brian was over here a second ago, and he looked at my face. He said, you all right? I said, yeah, I'm all right. He said, are you really all right? And sometimes we need people to ask us if we're really all right, because we'll put a smile on Sunday morning, won't we? put on our best clothes, put on some smell good, and then we go to church when we're supposed to be okay here, right? Supposed to look like everything's okay here, but in reality, everything is not always okay. Did you know there's a saying going around, it's okay to not be? Yeah, this is one of those places. It's okay to be that. But and a lot of times, because we got 500 friends on Facebook, or we got 1,000 followers on Instagram, or you make the best TikTok videos on the planet, everybody thinks that you got it going on, that everything's okay. But really inside, you might be lonely. You might be very lonely. You can be in a crowd just like this. We're all praising the same Jesus. We all like the same worship songs. You're all listening to the same word. But you go home alone, or you go home with your family, and when you lie in bed at night, you feel absolutely lonely. It's funny that the average man has about 1.5 friends his entire life. Every man in here has got that one guy that we used to hang out with 20 years ago, and I could call him right now, but we don't. 20 years go by, but he's still my boy. That one time we did that stuff, and now it's gone. But God puts the lonely in family. He takes those who are without people. Sometimes he takes people who come from a dysfunctional family. Anybody ever have one of those? Anybody got crazy Uncle Eddie or Uncle Larry? Always been in jail, acting a fool. You don't want him there for Thanksgiving. You got mama, daddy drama, you got sibling rivalry, all of that dysfunction. Maybe it didn't work out the way it should have in your blood family. And then God, save your rotten, sorry soul, just like he did mine. He cleaned us up and he gave us a new family. He put us in the family of God, the house of God. He put us in a gathering of people that are going in the same direction, trying to go in the same direction, trying to do the right thing, trying to make our God be more known in this world. And now we've got new brothers and sisters. Now we've got an ageless community group filled with grandmas and mamas we wish we would have had. And we've filled with people who have our best interest in mind. Did you know that God's grace always draws us closer to him and then to each other? Now, before Shannon and I, my wife, before we got married, we were a part of the same church, our Bethel Church in Murfreesboro. And I was about 25 years old when I gave my life to Jesus, and I didn't really fit in with the college people. I'd already graduated college, and I didn't really fit in with all the married people, because people at Bethel had so many kids. It's just like, I don't even want to be around y'all. Y'all going to get something on me. I'm not ready for all that. And so I'm 25 years old, and I was wanting to connect. I was wanting to be a part, but I didn't really know how. And when you know it, there was people in the church who began to hang out with each other. It was a bunch of singles. They began to invite people over their house after church was over to have a meal. Somebody would get one of those huge 10-pound frozen lasagnas, and then somebody would get, champ, it was strong. 25-year-old bachelor, everything tastes good. Somebody make a salad, somebody made some breadsticks, and they would invite 10, 15 of us over. And if we were new in church, they would invite us over. There were times when families would invite me and a couple others over to their house, and I would get to experience what does a family look like? So I grew up without a dad. It was just me and my brother. I didn't know what a nuclear family looked like. I'd never been around a father who had kids. And so when they would invite me over their family or over their house, and I would just watch them, I was mesmerized. I'd find out how a husband should or maybe should not treat his wife. I'd find out how kids are supposed to interact with their parents, all because I was invited. Did you know it's permissible to do that? Did you know you can invite people over your house on Sunday? Because everybody eats Sunday meals, don't they? How many of you don't eat on Sunday? Exactly. Right? But the Bible's telling us to gather together because there's something supernatural. It's hard to explain. But when you gather together over simple things like a meal, God does amazing things. I want to read for you just really quickly in Acts chapter 2. Now, again, Acts chapter 2 is the early church, And they kind of understood what I'm talking about. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, they who accepted this message, the apostle Peter was preaching the gospel for the very first time. And it says about 3,000 people were added to their number that day. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. They had these services. They would preach the word of God. But then after that was over, after the service, they'd have the breaking of bread and prayer. It says everyone was filled with awe. Everybody say awe. There was a special grace that was released when God's people came together. Check out what happened. It says, many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. It says, all the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold properties and possessions. They gave to everyone who had need. How did they even know what the needs were? It's because they gathered together and they talked about life and how hard it is and how hard it is to make a dollar out of 15 cents. That's Tupac for you. Sorry about that. Right? They talked about real life. It says they had everything in common. And it says they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And it says, as a result of all that, I mean, we're not talking about anything hard. They just gathered together, hung out, ate, and talked about Jesus. It says, the Lord added to their number daily who were being saved. Now, God gives you grace when you gather together, and He wants you to gather. I believe it's in God's will that we would gather together. I want you to read this in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. This is what Jesus says. He said, I wanted to gather them together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you did not let me. Now, what I'm about to read next can be a little scary. Depends on what side you're on. This is in Luke chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus is also saying this. He says, whoever is not with me is against me. And check this out. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. So here's a big point. If you are not gathering, you are scattering. I mean, I hate to be so bold and so direct, but if we are scattering, if we are avoiding what God is trying to do, we are working in opposition to His will. Amen. All right. Jesus wants us to gather to Him first and then to others, and He gets the glory. See, being around others, it reminds me that they need me and I need them as well. Now, grace is a blessing, and we need to begin to look at the gathering grace as a blessing as well. I'm going to give you three steps on how to gather. Three things to do practically in our life to gather the way God wants us to. The first one is we need to capitalize gathering. That means, that word capitalize means we need to take advantage of. We need to make the most of it, of this opportunity, and see it as an opportunity. Like we said, God has brought us from all different directions. He's brought you for here for such a time as this. It is an opportunity every single Sunday and every single week we have community groups for you to gather together. And we need to cash in on that. Somebody say amen. Next thing we need to do is be energized about that gathering. To energize means we need to have enthusiasm. We should be excited that God went through all the trouble. Now, let's think about this for a second. How much work did God do in your life to get you here today? Oh! Think about all the angels that was busy on your behalf doing stuff. God saving you from stuff, delivering you from stuff, cleaning your life up, even the little bit He may has already. But to bring you here right now to sit in that seat, there was a lot of work that God did. And He didn't bring you here just to leave you. Oh, that's an old song. He didn't bring you this far just to leave you here. He brought you here to gather that your life might intermingle with somebody else's life. And together, when we gather, it's going to bring glory to God. And this is the third thing, to me, the most important. I wish you would. I dare you. I double dog dare you to write this down. We need to prioritize gathering. See, to prioritize means that you need to make it more important than other things in your life. You need to make it more important than other things in your life. I'm going to give you several really quick examples. There was a man named Eric Liddell. He was an Olympian. And years ago, he had the opportunity to run the 100-meter dash. He was a sprinter in the Olympics in Paris. And he qualified for the gold medal. But they were going to run that heat on Sunday. But because he was a believer in Jesus Christ, he said, I can't run on Sunday. He said, that's the day when God's people gather together to honor him. So I can't do it. So he gave up the 100-meter gold medal opportunity. Now God graced him. See, on Monday, he ran the 400 meters and he got a gold medal, which is great. But he prioritized something more important than his lifelong goal. The next, how many of you guys have ever heard of Chick-fil-A? Yeah. Pastor Aaron calls it that gospel bird. Did you know that Chick-fil-A loses 1 billion? Everybody say billion. They lose $1 billion a year by being closed on Sunday. I mean, that's a nice chunk of change. I could do a lot of things with $1 billion. We're going to take over nations. We got $1 billion. But did you know what Dan Cathy said? He's the founder of Chick-fil-A. He said, closing our business on Sunday, the Lord's Day, is our way of honoring God, showing our loyalty to him. He goes on to say that the owner operators who get that time off, they are closed on Sundays. It conveys a sense of caring and community. It gives people, their employees, and all of us an opportunity to gather together. See, they prioritize something more than money, something more than an agenda, something more than profit and loss. Because God said it was important, then I'm going to make it important, and I'm going to rearrange my life to prioritize the gathering of God's people. The next one, how many guys been to Hobby Lobby? Y'all praising God over Hobby Lobby. That's cool. Well, check out this. The CEO of Hobby Lobby, he said that no Hobby Lobby store is open on Sunday in order to allow our employees and customers more time for worship and family to gather together. I just want to, guys, let you know that there is a precedent in the Bible. There are examples in real life of where not only does God want us to gather, he wants us to prioritize our gathering. He wants us to make it more important than other things that may take its place. I'm not saying miss Sunday. That's not what I'm saying, even though we don't want you to. But God has called us to gather together for our benefit. Let's not waste these opportunities. We get together on Sunday mornings. We get together through the week. It's because we need it. And those who gather in those things, they need us as well. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for showing us so clearly in your word that there is opportunity, there is blessing, there is grace, there is mercy when we gather together. God, I pray that you would release your grace over not only this gathering, but those who are going to make the bold decision today to begin to prioritize the gatherings that you have brought us to, where we give glory and honor to Jesus. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Stay up here with me, champions. Let's give God a big hand clap. Come on. Great job, Pastor Richard. You know, we want to give you guys a very practical step that we can all take today. So just hang in here just for a couple of more minutes. You know, when you came through the doors, hopefully you received one of these. If you did not receive one of these, you can lift your hands and our ushers will get you one. This right here talks about the different groups that we offer here in our spring semester of 2020. A lot of you guys signed up for a group last week. Thank you so much for doing that. Our groups, Pastor Richard, will be launching how long from now?
February.
They're launching next week?
I don't know why I did that. I don't have a watch on.
So not this week, but the following
week. Exactly.
So here's how you can get signed up.